Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast for the 20th episode of season 2, Seeing Red. I'm one of your co-hosts, Amanda Konkin.
And I am your other co-host, Michael Cohen.
And Amanda's sick today.
Amanda is sick today and a mess because she was crying.
I was crying.
Everybody's gonna die.
What a sad episode. And I cried like past her. It was upsetting. I cried more than when Tommy died, I think.
No,
when Tommy died, I was heartbroken.
No, when Tommy died, by the time we started recording, I think you were still upset.
Still pretty upset.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was sad. What is that? It's like the worst when you're already sick and then you start crying and you just like, it's just a cacophony of feelings and emotions. I just don't know how to deal with it.
I don't know that that's necessarily the right word, but that's okay.
Oh. It's sound, but for your
it's
brain.
It's sound, but for your brain. Okay. Then not sound.
Or your heart.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, it was a pretty intense episode. I'm much more focused. Like, I care less about Moira being dead. Like, honestly. Like, good. Like, she's dead, and now the characters can move on.
Which was going to happen sooner or later. We knew, at the 28-minute mark, moment where Moira said, I know, and we were like, you're so dying
episode. You're dead. You just have to die. I knew that she was dead by the end of this season a couple episodes ago when she had her redemption moment with Oliver. We said that. We figured that she'd signed her death certificate then.
Yeah.
And then in this episode, when the second that she's like, I know, I've known since last year.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're so dead.
Yeah.
Like, you're not making it out of this episode, lady.
No. So it was like an actual thing where in that moment where he's holding the gun up, you like know that there's nothing's in
the
safe.
But this is the thing is, all throughout that moment, I was wondering, like I was contemplating, like, are they going to kill Theo?
Yeah, because I was like, just to make it like that much, that would have been the misdirection. But you said specifically, because then I was like, maybe they won't kill Moira, maybe they'll kill Theo. They just have too much character development left in Thea, and that's what you were talking about. Like, this idea that of the storylines, they've started wrapping Moira's up, like, pretty efficiently and effectively. And especially today, they set up the blood, like, that ominous moment with blood in Moira, where he's kind of like, oh, I'm gonna take over the city, and where you're like, that probably shouldn't happen. Like, that's a pretty negative thing. Like, it'd be great if Moira was around, and then it wouldn't happen.
For anybody who's in, like 10th or 11th grade English right now, and really doesn't have a good grip on foreshadowing yet, if you want a good example of foreshadowing, the moment when Blood says, well, you know, it's for the best, because now I'm going to be the mayor, and I'm going to fix this city. It's like, yeah, he's evil.
Yeah.
In case it was unclear up until this point.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah.
But I am so much more focused on Connor Hawke.
Yeah.
Okay. The seven years ago storyline is really where this episode is interesting for me. Because everything else, I feel like we're just kind of fulfilling the prophecies from earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting to the point where now Oliver's broken down. This is everything that Slade said he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
As he says at the end of the episode, there's just one person left. I think he's referring to Sarah. I don't know who else he could be referring
to.
Maybe he'll go after Felicity because Sarah took off.
Well, it would be a thing, right? It would be where he'd have to decide what was more important in his present time.
Maybe he'll go after Laurel.
Yeah, you never know, right? Like, it could be because Laurel did something. Yeah, because Laurel kind of redeemed herself last week in terms of finding out about him and after protecting him. It'll be an interesting thing. Yeah, it's one of those three, definitely. It's either Laurel, Felicity, or Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, the
But so much more interesting that Oliver has a child out
who is,
there.
Like, 6 years old, 7 years old.
Six or seven years old. So, yeah, that to me is way more interesting than anything else that happened in this episode because I have some comic book knowledge. Some lore knowledge, and that means that I know that Oliver has a son named Connor Hawke that is kind of a bit of a similar situation. He is sort of a son that Oliver didn't know about, and then he finds out later. Like, it's not like a...
Right, he didn't know that he had the son.
Yeah, it's not like he didn't raise him, right?
They did that, like, what a great little plant thing, where you sort of... I mean, I don't know. In some cases, I guess if people aren't familiar with the comic books, you might just think that it's a way for us to establish Moira and who she is as a mother. But really, it's establishing... The show is thinking 7 seasons ahead. It's just so fantastic. Well, always 5 seasons ahead. Isn't that what we always say? They always think 5 seasons ahead.
So, one really interesting thing is that just announced recently, I think maybe this morning or yesterday morning, is with comic books, they do a thing called solicits. So, with solicits, what that means is the catalog that comic book store owners will order the comic books by, comes out about 3 or 4 months before those titles, right? So, in the Diamond Comics solicit for DC Comics, that's either come out this week or comes out next week, DC announced recently that they're going to be killing off Oliver Queen in the New 52, that he's going to be dying. Oh. So before anybody goes, oh, spoilers, 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 comic books don't work the way that TV and movies work. This is like, it'll be on the cover. The cover of Green Arrow number 40 or whatever the issue number is will literally be something like Oliver Queen on a cross with arrows in his hands or something. Right? Like, it'll be something really, really out there and flamboyant to get everybody's attention, because that's how you sell comic books. So this isn't spoilers. How he's going to die and what happens because of his death is the more interesting part in comics. But
are they doing this because they're recognizing how popular this property is getting with Arrow?
They're doing it because they're about to introduce Connor Hawk in New 52.
Okay.
I think that's what they're doing. Like, they're setting something up, right?
Right.
Like, they wouldn't be killing the Green Arrow mm-hmm. without some sort of a way of dealing with that, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think that they'll do that, and season 3 is going to bring Connor Hawk into Arrow. He might not necessarily be a major part. I mean, he'll be a boy. He'll be a child, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see how that works. But the fact that we've just kind of cleared the deck a little bit by getting rid of Moira, and who knows who else we're getting rid of this season, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think Isabel Rochev makes it out of this season. Or if she dies, she runs away into the shadows and we don't see her again for a while.
It could be some yeah, they're getting rid of the
I definitely series. Don't think Slade makes it out of this season.
Yeah.
I do think that they'll kill
deal
him.
With that. I think that
I don't think that with the way that they've established the character, I don't think that he gets to live.
Yeah.
Because his sole purpose in Arrow mm-hmm. is the destruction of Oliver Queen,
mm-hmm.
right? So if he lives, he won't give that up. He's not going to stop.
Yeah.
Right?
It's sort of one note, right? It makes him less interesting. He's serving out his purpose right now, right? He's doing exactly what he needs to do for this particular
season. Unless they can cure him. Like, if they cure the Mirakuru and he takes off and, you know, gets his head straight, and then we find, and then he comes back in a later season as kind of a bad guy, kind of a good guy, kind of like Deadshot has, right?
Right.
Like, they could do something like that, but I feel like that would be a bit of a cop-out. Because they've really, like, the stakes
are this season, and it would be great to then move on to what our next island storyline is next year, right? Yeah. Like, there's new people now, there's different things going on with the island. Plus, he's gonna leave the island soon, right? It's either next season or the season after that he's leaving the island, right? Because then he goes back to the island before he leaves it again, finally, right? So we've got to figure out all that stuff.
Well, I think the fact that Anatoly is such a big part of everything that's going on the island right now, I think that points towards them getting off the island somewhere end of this season, beginning of next season, and then the Russian mob stuff
dealing,
happening.
Yeah, dealing with that, because that's
so
going to be
dealing with a little bit of that stuff. And who knows what villain that will spin out, right? Whatever they have planned for season 3. Mm-hmm. So but I feel like they're like I said, they're kind of clearing the board and sowing seeds, if I can mix my metaphors for a second, for next season. Those two things are happening in this episode and will be happening throughout the next couple of episodes, because we've also got Sarah leaving. And who knows what that's gonna mean for everybody.
What that happens,
So, it's interesting. Like, this is a game changer, as a lot of people have been saying on Twitter and everything today. Things are definitely happening in the Arrow universe, setting up our... Greg Berlanti is referring to it as a four-part season finale. This being the first part of the four-part season finale. So this leads into next week's episode, which next week, the week after, and then the season finale all take place on one night.
That's a three-part season finale.
It's a movie, right?
That's amazing.
You put this in it, and it's kind of like you've set the board. Everything is there at the beginning of, by the end of this episode, where you've set the stakes for Oliver. His mother's now dead, and Slade is going after someone else, and Oliver is pretty much powerless to stop him, right? I mean, he's injured, first of all.
Yeah.
And that injury is going to carry through.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
his leg.
That was an important injury.
Yeah. I think that's really important to know that he's not up on his game.
Yeah.
And Slade is at the top of his game, right? Mm-hmm. But we've got an email here from Jonathan Spies. He writes.
Is this someone Jonathan's
written in before.
And we always have a problem with that.
And he says, howdy, # the struggle is real. The moment I was about to write an email about how much I enjoyed Moira, the writers dump a bucket of feelings on me. Susanna Thompson was amazing in almost every scene. I especially enjoyed the speech/announcement at the campaign function. Her finding out about Oliver was a bit convenient, but I didn't really care. Who doesn't want their mom's approval? Anyways, I am eager to hear y'all's thoughts about the episode. I would never say y'all. That is written on the page. Keep up the good work. Jonathan Spies from Texas. He's allowed to say y'all.
He is.
It's legit. And he does a great service to us by writing it in parentheses here at the end. Spies is pronounced like fleece. So Spies like fleece.
Spies.
Jonathan Spies.
Jonathan Spies.
Yes.
All right. Sweet.
So thank you, Jonathan, for letting us know how to pronounce your last name.
Hope y'all in Texas are enjoying the podcast.
Yeah, I...
That's cool that people listen from very far away. Yeah. Well, I guess I don't mean... I'm sure there's, Texas isn't, like, uber far... It's far.
Well, I know we've also got listeners from as far away as, I don't know, like, Sweden and...
That'd be cool.
All over the place. All over the world. Yeah. Look at the downloads. If you ever look at the stats, you can see that.
It's so good.
So thank you for that email, and I think Amanda is in the same boat as you with the bucket of feels.
Oh my gosh, what a bucket of feels. And we've been talking about Moira for a long time in terms of when she was going away, because she is sort of, I mean, it's a really useful plot device, right? And I mean, now Ollie's an orphan, which he's supposed to be, right? So there was ways for that.
You gotta use your quote fingers.
I did. I was just too sick to use my quote fingers, okay. Mike. But in my head... I said quote fingers.
I just wanted to make sure the listeners know.
The listeners know that Amanda used air quotes, sort of, in her head. but I've lost my train of thought, and now I don't care to go back because I'm too sick. I don't know what I'm saying.
Fair enough. Cool. Well, with that, let's jump.
Oh, yeah, feels. I was talking about
feels. Oh, feels. Okay.
Oh, yeah, just in terms of more, and I agree with what Jonathan was talking about with Susanna Thompson being real. We were talking about specifically in the flashbacks this episode how great she is, and she really has the capacity to take on those personas, the different people that she needs to be. Someone had also, we talk about a lot of different things and we have a lot of projections about stuff and who's going to be important, and I know we were talking earlier about Sarah versus Felicity versus Laurel being perhaps the person that he's going after, and someone did tweet at us, kind of a long tweet, and I just did want to mention that someone was saying that they've been paying a lot of attention to what the writers are saying and what the creators are saying about Laurel's character, and us, I don't know, they basically just warned us to not write Laurel off too much, and I feel sometimes we do write Laurel off, but I think it's just interesting now that you are talking about this idea of shifting importance of characters and how characters are playing different roles in Ollie's life, and I just think that's really interesting to see where these writers are going with how they play on these relationships and how they build these relationships with Ollie, and who are the important, I just realized, all these important women in his life, right?
Yeah.
Thea and Moira and
it, you know, it's very interesting because I think with a lot of genre TV it's going this way, and it's really cool to see it that the casts tend to be actually stacked more on the female side. Where like, if you really think about it, if you take away the sort of the part-time players, like the characters that are specifically for this season, and you say, like, who were the main cast members, right?
Yeah.
Like, who are the starring characters? I feel like we've got, on the guys' side, we have Oliver, Roy,
and Diggle. Yeah.
And then on the ladies' side, we have Thea, and Felicity, and Sarah, and Laurel.
Yeah.
and Moira. I guess Detective Lance as well.
Yeah, right? Detective Lance.
So it's like it's 5-4, right?
It's good. It's relatively.
I think that that's cool. I think that genre TV does that, mm-hmm. whereas other TV shows, I'm generally
and not all right? genre TV.
Yeah,
Supernatural.
Definitely not all genre shows, and definitely not all non-genre shows are this way. But I just feel like a lot of the shows that I watch that aren't genre are very male heavy with their cast, right? Like a lot of sitcoms and stuff like that are very male heavy.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. So it's just interesting to see that happening. And something I like that's such a weird thing that doesn't really get pointed out a lot, but Gina Davis has this foundation that she talks about with representation.
Yeah.
And one of the things I thought was interesting is you'll notice the one random cop line in this episode is a female cop.
Yeah.
And just the idea of putting people in the backgrounds of characters that just, you know, half of the people in the crowd being women and people just doing jobs being women. Anyway, so it's just interesting. I'm glad that the people seem to be... You have to pay attention to those things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine to not pay attention to it, but brains, because of structures and infrastructure and whatever, it could go on forever. But I feel like you do need to pay attention to make sure that there is a certain amount of representation, which I think the show
and
does
as
well.
Yeah, as we've talked about tons of times when talking about Arrow, it does feel like the showrunners... Not only pay attention to it, but I think they put a little bit of special attention into it, right?
Which is great.
That they want that representation there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's really great, and I think that they should be getting the credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, let's jump into the episode.
Mm-hmm.
We're hitting play now on it's the previously on thing.
Yeah.
CW presents Arrow. Now we've got the previously on.
Yeah.
Very interesting. No. I'm Oliver Queen, and I have to save the city.
Right, it was just previously
I have to
on.
Be something else.
Right.
Yeah, it just goes right to the previously on.
Yeah.
Which means there's so much in this episode that they didn't want to waste the 30 seconds of Oliver saying the same thing he says every week.
Isn't that crazy? I started watching something where they keep doing, you know, soap opera style and repeating the last 15 seconds of something,
yeah.
and I'm like, you guys are wasting so much time doing that. Just make it quick. We know what happened.
Yeah.
So here in the... Some good filigal this episode.
Hashtag filigal. Thank you guys for getting out there.
Yeah, we got a couple
episode.
Tweets this week that people were on the filigal.
You guys are awesome.
So it was awesome.
We are going to make filigal happen.
Yeah,
so.
Because look how cute these lines are together.
Adorbs.
Adorbs.
Oh my god.
Totes adorbs.
Because right at the beginning of the episode, they got to be like, here, let's give the fans something that they want because we're going to destroy it by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they give us this right here. Or she goes, does that make me a bad person? And he goes, Felicity, I don't think there's
a force on earth
that can make you a bad person.
Aww.
And then they're gonna have a little bit of a dinner date here.
So good. And I like this. It's giving me a big belly, the big belly burger. It's super cute. They're just on the same. They're just on the same page in many ways, which is kind of nice.
I like them. I like the dynamic of those two characters together.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they're kind of the two ordinary folks.
Yeah, I like that. It's
in
good.
Amongst everything
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
And that they're kind of always... So they've got that touchstone together to develop a relationship around. I think that's a really fun idea.
I noticed Roy does a lot of shaking in this episode.
He does
just
do a lot of shaking.
Super intense.
A lot of...
I don't think he has a lot of lines. He has one line where he
a
says
lot of
killing
acting.
Me, I think. That's it. Yeah, a lot of acting. He did a lot of acting. That broke my heart when they had to smash that... computer screen. I don't know. I just was like, that was a great props moment. Props to the props people, because having to get that table to smash the thing at such an angle was
props to the props.
Props to the props, folks. And here, we noticed that this was one of the more expensive episodes they've used, because there's actually extras in the background at the club.
Yeah, the club's not closed.
Yeah, there's actually
not during the middle of the day.
People around. And you were saying something that Stephen Amell was saying, how they specifically have been really contained with what they've been incorporating in terms of money for the last couple episodes so that they could save it up and really spend
for these last couple episodes. Right, so last week's and then the next four.
Yeah. It's really funny. I love this show because I had so many problems with this. I was like, where are you guys? How can you afford this whole, this like place? And then they actually go through in exposition and kind of explain all of the different things as if being like, you can't afford this hotel
room. It just goes to show that you should never count the writers out
I
on
know.
This show. Like they,
it's so great.
Unlike a lot of television shows, I feel like they think about everything.
They do.
Somebody is in that writer's room going like, hey, write in a line.
Yeah.
Explain this, because last week we just talked about how they have no money.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's good. I have a lot of respect for that.
Also, really important. is that we're establishing where they're at with their relationship.
Yeah.
And Oliver has just
dropped the wee bomb.
Let's get a place together. Yeah. She's like, are you asking me to move in with you?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big step. Yeah. And although, like, their relationship is a little weird and a little bit unique because of the things that they've been through, you get the sense that Sarah is not
on the same page.
And Oliver is very much looking to continue his life, and Sarah is still in this dark place,
right? Yeah, which is crazy. Oh, both their cell phones ringing.
Both of them ring with Felicity's
How could phone. She be calling both of them at the same time?
Conference call.
Oh, okay, fine. You have to be all... explain it away.
With most smartphones... I know you have a BlackBerry, so I don't know if it's...
It's capable. Smart. I can do conference calls.
It's average intelligence at best.
It writes emails... I was going to swear there, but it writes emails in a very... use expletive here way.
I don't know what expletive you're using. I don't know you're what not using the right one. Anyways, so now we've got Moira having she's being interviewed by some
random
media
dude.
Person. It's not really explained, but she's talking about how being a parent makes her more appropriate as a mayor than Alderman Blood. But then here comes Thea with, you're a terrible mom.
Oh, this is going to throw Thea through... Thea's going to be messed up for weeks.
Yeah.
I just started to realize this.
Weeks? Try a whole season.
Life. Okay, fine. Rest of her life. Whatever.
I mean...
But, yeah, she totally had a horrible relationship with her mother right before her mother died. Wow.
And one of the last things she said to her was kind of mean.
Yeah.
Like, they're starting... back on the road to patching things up. Yeah. Moira and Oliver get to patch things up, but this is still where Moira and Thea are at.
Thea's going to have an interesting year next year.
Oh,
I just think Thea is going to be one of the most interesting. She went from being my least interesting character to, I think, now one of the characters that I'm most interested to see how her story progresses.
Yeah.
So they did a really good job with figuring that all out. So this lawyer dude keeps talking to Moira about her...
He's not a lawyer. He's her campaign manager.
That's
a big difference.
I don't know. I'm sure he has law knowledge of some kind. I don't know.
There are a lot of lawyers on this show, but just because somebody's wearing a suit doesn't make them a lawyer.
I'm sorry that I stereotyped the guy in a suit.
You should be.
I know. Whatever. Oh, and this is our first flashback to... I like to see old... Old Ollie was really mean to Laurel. I don't know. Like, their relationship was super dysfunctional. It's just...
Yes.
I don't know. There's a lot of... It's really problematic.
You mean the whole sleeping with other women while they were together?
Yeah. Super dysfunctional.
I think we've established so far, you know, towards the second... Like, the end of season two.
Yeah.
That Oliver pre-Island was kind of a douchebag.
Yeah, I guess so. It's true. But, like, the problem is, too, though, is that they actually seem... Like, I think Laurel genuinely...
That's what makes it so bad. That's what makes him...
I guess.
Him...
Even worse.
Him such a... Yeah, terrible, terrible person. Yeah. Is that Laurel is very clearly into him.
Yeah,
like she's in love with
him. They have like a great, yeah.
And I think that part of him is in love with her.
Because he's with her and not other, like, you know, outwardly, he will.
But I think he's also just an irresponsible, immature, good-looking rich boy.
Yeah.
Right?
That hair.
He's Abercrombie Oliver.
But his hair is so gross.
Yeah.
I don't know. This Oliver is... I don't know.
It was 5 years ago. That hair might have been acceptable 5 years
ago. And Moira looks so good. This past Moira, whatever they did to her hair or her makeup or whatever it was, is just fantastic. So,
Yeah, it's simple because, I mean, they don't have to go to an extreme because it's 7 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
But they did something.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it was lighting or makeup or hair or a combination of all three, she definitely... they definitely de-aged her.
Yeah, they do.
To the appropriate amount, I think. Like, it just shows a lot of skill.
Yeah.
And then her performance, more than anything, seals it, right? Like, and I think that's kind of... if the performance wasn't there, she was acting exactly the same as she does in the other scenes, it would be like, oh, they just put some makeup on her.
Yeah, but it's, no, it's
but,
true.
Yeah, it's as with everybody who's involved in the flashbacks.
Yeah.
You'll notice that Thea is absent because...
she would have to be so young.
She'd be like 12 or something.
So
she's conspicuously absent.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody else is doing such a great job in the flashbacks.
Yeah. So
they're tracking Roy.
These bike scenes with Canary and Arrow are really epic. I really like them. They're just sort of both on their motorbikes being all.
I like that they get around the because popular convention in superhero storytelling is either they fly or they have grappling guns or hooks or of some sort and they swing around. And so, Oliver definitely does that a fair amount on the show.
Yeah.
But more often than not, they're getting around the city on those motorbikes, which I think is a really cool way of dealing with that.
Yeah.
Like way of practical. Addressing that.
Yeah.
It's a practical way for them to get around.
Yeah.
It can allow them to, like, avoid traffic and that sort of thing, get to where they need to be.
Which is good.
We've got Sin finding Roy in his... altered state.
Yeah, and realizing how sort of altered he is and wanting to protect them from him because the thing is, we sort of forgot for a little bit that she knew about, or at least I did when I was watching this, I forgot that she knew
He had been... As they remind us later in the episode, that happened before Christmas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was quite a while ago.
Wow. And then Sin gets knocked over, and I like that it's not for nothing. She gets knocked over and gets a black eye.
Yeah.
That they use throughout the whole...
But I do also like that it's not... we're just skipping through some commercials right now. It's not... it's not played up. It's addressed.
It's addressed.
But it's not played up.
Like,
if this were a different kind of show, there would have been, like, a whole thing about how Roy hit Sin and...
I don't know,
right.
But it's just that it's there, right? That there's consequences to his actions. Like, people
die. And nobody's holding him responsible. Like, I think that's what I'm getting at, is that, Sin knows that there's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
Sarah later on wants to kill him because he's dangerous. But as she says, like, that's how she deals with things. Yeah. But Oliver doesn't hold him accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Thea doesn't hold him accountable for that happening, even though they're all friends and they all care.
Yeah.
Right? There's something wrong with Roy. We need to fix it. And it's not going to be, like, two episodes from now or next season. Like, I can't believe you did that. We can never forgive you for doing that, right? Like,
they're dealing with stuff.
Yeah. They're thinking about things rationally.
They're going through and making choices.
Yeah.
This is, they're setting up now Verdant for Moira's speech, right? Which, and Diggle is on Thea, and I think that's interesting, right? That he's assigned Diggle as a bodyguard to be a bodyguard because that's actually what his role is, which I forgot, right, from the very beginning that Diggle was just like a bodyguard. But now he's like, Diggle. I don't know. It's weird. He's just
now he's still kind of a bodyguard.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, he is. I thought that there was an interesting jab later on about how Diggle's going to be unemployed, and I kind of was like, oh yeah, Diggle is going to be unemployed if Ollie can't afford to pay for him.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I always forget who knows whose secret about what, because Pearson explaining to Sarah about Roy, and I'm like, surely Sid knows that Sarah knows, and I guess not, right? Because certain things are secrets. So here's the scene between Blood and Moira that we were talking about earlier with the really ominous... It is one of the scariest scenes, actually, because I think that the scariest things are not the bad guys that are going to come and shoot your face off or whatever, right? The really bad ones are the ones that are going to screw up with the infrastructure and mess up the...
Malcolm did last season.
Yeah.
Right? Like, his plan to destroy the city, to destroy the glades.
Yeah.
Right? And rebuild it in his image or whatever. Like, that, yeah, you're right. Like, that's
terrifying.
That's much more villainous than a guy, than just some gang member with a gun, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what makes them super villains and not just thugs.
Yeah.
Right?
Fair enough. That's truth.
I like that. See, as much as it benefits me, it doesn't really make much sense. But I love his it's just the subtlety here, because he knows what's going on, but she doesn't, and he doesn't give it away. But because we know that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
He's so crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he thinks that his army of like souped up super soldiers is going to somehow save the city.
Yeah. Because he believes that. Yeah, those are the scariest people.
Yeah.
Is that the boat, by the way, in the background of this photo, when we've done this flashback again, is that the boat that they sunk on, or is that just like a different sailing ship?
No, because that's like a sailing ship. That's not a yacht.
But they don't have that in the actual house anymore, do they? Or is this just a different angle and I never see it? Anyways, it's kind of cool set deck, whatever it is. I don't know. I like it. This is all... Moira's in almost every scene of this episode, actually. I'm just starting to realize as I go through.
Well, it is her send-off, so she kind of deserves to be.
Oh, they did such a good job. It's so sad. Poor Moira.
Well, she's not innocent, so, you know... I mean, this was Oliver's fault, in a way.
Yeah.
Like, if anybody's to blame, it's kind of Oliver.
For Moira dying?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's what happened to him, and the fact that he didn't kill Slade when he had the chance, or cure Slade, or whatever, right?
Which we will find out, hopefully, in the next couple episodes.
Yeah, we'll find out how that went down, but all of this is kind of on him. But at the same time, Moira is not an innocent person. She's done a lot of evil things.
You've been talking about this idea. The thing is, though, there's the aspect of redemption, right? So this idea that if you can move past things and if you start to incorporate different things into your life, I don't remember Moira from two seasons ago. I remember Moira now.
To me, that seems really short-sighted. Because for me, it's much more interesting that you remember how complex a character really is than you write off their past because they did something
But it changes the choices you make as well.
Sure.
And if we can actually compare right now, because a good comparison, I guess, would be Ollie and Sarah as well. Because the choice that Oliver is making in these instances is different than the choice he made when he first came back, right?
Yeah.
He's not a killer anymore. No. And I think that it's disingenuous to feel like to say that he makes his actions based on that initial instinct.
But I think that Oliver was misguided when he came back. As Sarah states, she spent 6 years in the darkness becoming a trained killer. That's what she is.
Yeah.
Like, she made a choice. She's going to say it later on. She looked the devil in the eyes and she sold her soul.
Yeah.
Right? And Oliver never did that. Oliver just did what he had to do to survive, and he came back ruthless.
Yeah.
But he was... There was...
Oh, here's the knee break. Oh, yeah, gross. Yeah. Snap, screaming are the two...
Oliver doesn't vocalize pain very often.
No.
And that's what makes this scene very different.
Oh, yeah.
Is that he hollers in pain.
It was...
And, when I saw that... Because they've showed that in a clip, in a preview clip. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that initially... I was like, oh man, that is going to definitely screw things up for the season finale.
Yeah. And you were talking about how this location that they got here for the...
Yeah, they extended the building.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And they did it seamlessly, because at first it was like, oh, that's really cool that they sourced that building first and then built the set at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but it's like, no, they built the set and then they found a building that they could add it onto.
We're just fast-forwarding through commercials again.
So Roy killed a cop.
Yeah, that's Roy just killed a cop.
So Roy has made some choices that are going to affect him later on.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely consequences to that.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see.
And remember, they never forget anything on this show.
Yeah.
So even if it doesn't get addressed in the next 3 episodes, it's going to get addressed.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
I do think, and it might be a throwaway line, but it'll get addressed.
It'll get addressed in some capacity. They're good at, I don't know, building up all of these characters. Now I'm thinking about this. I don't think Moira is a bad character or is a bad person.
I do think that she redeemed herself, but there's a difference between redemption and guilt. She's still a guilty character. She's not innocent in all of
this. Fair enough. And we're back now with the weird lines from this random doctor dude. So
the full moon is out. Yeah.
Yeah. So is this? But this is a doctor they've used before. Yeah.
I think possibly. I remember
him from he wasn't he the one that was talking to Laurel about the sisters?
Maybe.
Thing? I don't know.
I do like. There's two parts here. There's the thing about a lot of this looks like it's old damage. Jumping off of roofs will do that.
Yeah.
But then I really like what they establish here, that Oliver is changing the city.
Yeah.
Right? His actions mm-hmm. have widespread effects. Because
mm-hmm.
he talks about that from last season, I
think. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The triads mm-hmm. Stealing the shipments of medicine or whatever. Yeah.
And that has an effect.
Yeah, maybe that was the first half of this season.
I think it was. He said a couple months ago. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the Bronze Tiger episode. But it has an effect, and it has this knock-on effect mm-hmm. that eventually it gets to this doctor in the hospital, who then helps them, no questions asked, because of what they're doing for the city. So I just that's really cool to see that, and then when we get Moira's comments later in the episode about how she's proud of him. He is becoming Green Arrow, and his actions are changing the city.
Yeah,
right. That to me shows the scope that the showrunners work on with this show. Right, like that they're not thinking, "What is this doing for our characters?" They're also thinking about the city as a character.
Yeah, and which is really cool. It gives the world life. Yeah. Like, we always talk about this, how we have consistent anchormen on the news, and we have consistent things that are happening.
Although they did introduce Vicki Vale a few episodes ago, and I think that we'll probably see Vicki Vale pretty consistently.
Who's Vicki Vale?
Vicki Vale is a character from Batman. I believe that's probably the same actress.
This actress on
playing
the TV,
Vicki Vale.
The one
doing
the...
I'll look that
we'll
up.
Look
while
it up.
We're,
but
while
so
we're
the
watching.
News anchor. So that's interesting.
But yeah, that's a character from the Batman universe.
Nice. So we sort of talked over Diggle and Thea having this sort of heart-to-heart about her mom and family, which is interesting. And you can sort of see that Thea is going to mend eventually, which is sad because they don't have the opportunity anymore. But
yes.
Anyway. This is sort of a nice shot here with Felicity's talking about the hood making a difference because it's hard to do facial recognition. Which is kind of good. That's sort of the practical aspects of why we wear costumes, and because hoods seem useless, right? Yeah. I always say that with Roy. I'm like, why are you wearing a hoodie that's useless? It doesn't make any difference, but...
It obscures his face enough,
so... That's good, right? So, this is the first... I think this is the first tick on Sarah and Ollie really talking about what to do with Roy, and how to deal with Roy, and whether or not they should kill him, which is interesting. So... Oh, poor Ollie. He's going to be broken for a few episodes. My goodness. Till the end of the season, I guess. He's not getting fixed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nothing's going to change between now and the next night. Or I feel like maybe a week later, I guess. Because we've seen in the preview that the next episode's going to open with a funeral.
Yeah. So sad.
It's very Smallville of them.
Yes, yes.
But, they've raised the stakes substantially for his character going into the season finale. We now know that Slade is not going to stop until he gets what he wants. And,
make real choices.
It's going to be really difficult for Oliver.
This is a rare Olicity moment. We haven't had a couple of those in a while. So, here we have... This is what Felicity's really good at, right? Is talking to him when he's reached certain points and figuring out what it is, being able to talk things through with him, which is really great.
Yeah. IMDb doesn't have Vicki Vale listed as a character in this episode, but...
Well, I think the reporters aren't always that.
No, the Doctor does have a name, though. Dr. Lockhart.
Interesting.
So.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see...
How he...
If he's in previous episodes. And any of our comic guru listeners out there, if you can...
figure out who he is?
Yeah, if he's a character from the comics.
Yeah.
That would also be cool to know about.
Yeah.
He's not to my knowledge, but I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge like some of our listeners.
Anyways, this is an interesting theme between Thea and... scene between Thea and Sin, just talking about Roy, so now she knows about Roy. And then we flash to this, which I thought was super weird, with Roy clearly hallucinating.
Yes, yeah. Same doctor from last week.
Yeah, okay, sweet. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Dr. Lockhart.
Seemed like a familiar dude. Because he sort of talked weird last week as well, right? He was giving the explanations, and I was like, why are you talking so much? And I guess maybe that's one of the reasons why, God, these writers are so good. Because in my brain, I specifically paid attention to this doctor having a ton of superfluous lines.
Yeah.
And being like, why are you giving this doctor so many lines? He's useless. And I'm like, oh, well, he's come in handy the next episode, hasn't he? So, anyways, this scene just proving the idea that the Mirakuru makes Roy crazy. So that's the thing that we often forget is the idea that, or at least that I was forgetting a lot of the time with Roy, is that he's crazy. He's gone
nutso.
Yeah, he actually is hallucinating in a really problematic way. And Thea asking him to kill her. So it's problematic. Mike is obsessed with the surface and didn't realize there's commercials that he should be fast-forwarding.
Oh, I'm fast-forwarding through the commercials. I'm trying to.
I know you're trying to. You're Vicky trying Bale, to go right? through and figure out Vicky Vale. It's good. You're multitasking.
Yeah.
You're not very good at it.
Well, I can't look at two things at once. I can carry on the conversation, but
okay. Truth. It's fine. It's all good. We'll figure it out. Oh, man, there's some, like, really good commercials or really targeted commercials in this episode of Arrow.
CW is pretty good at
they,
that.
They have done a good job, so.
And I went a little bit too far. Okay, now we're back.
Yay. And setting up for the... Oh, right, because Moira has only told Blood that she is going to resign or going to drop
Yeah, we kind of glossed over that. Talked, yeah, she's but, backing out of the race.
Yeah, and you can sort of tell the moment the campaign manager was kind of like, you can't do both. You can't be a mother and a mayor. And she goes... I know. And you're kind of like, oh, obviously she's going to choose her kids. They've just done a really good job of making her really consistent in that way, which is kind of nice. And something I guess we talked about a lot beforehand in terms of who she is. Oh, this is the scene with Ollie and Moira about She Knows. So I want to go back now and rewatch a lot of this season and see if it's obvious. I wonder if they told Susanna Thompson beforehand that she knows. Because that would it changes how she plays that character. Yeah, like if the producers had the wherewithal to go, you know that he's the Arrow now. Play accordingly, right? And I mean, it's I don't know. It would just maybe have subtleties, right? Not necessarily super important. So it's not. I mean, I'm sure it gets glossed over in many ways. But and the big thing I think from this scene is Ollie reassuring Moira that the best thing she can do for Thea. Is to do something good, right? Is to go forward and become the mayor and change the city, right? And Moira, I think, sees her opportunity to talk to Ollie here. The idea of sacrificing for the good of the city. She's responding.
Yeah, it's a this is a it is a tricky scene.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little bit heartbreaking because Oliver thinks that he's got everybody fooled.
Yeah.
But she knows. And you can kind of see it in his eyes that, like, he's worried about what she thinks.
Yeah.
But then she talks about how she's proud of him and,
It was so sad. We totally knew. I don't know. It sort of Moira, I didn't believe it. I sort of was like, maybe they won't kill her But...
would you rather that they killed Thea?
It would have been less expected if they had killed Thea. They also would have screwed them over for a lot of plots. Like, it makes less sense to kill Thea.
The whole She's Merlin got, thing
yeah,
is
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff to come. Moira doesn't have any unresolved plot lines.
No.
Moira is a plot device at this point, so and she's served out most of her purposes. Yeah. So it makes the most sense. It's the most... impactful death while also being the least impactful, if that makes some sense, in terms of the actual story that's going forward. So this girl, do we know who Connor Hawk's mom is? Is she like a named character?
Yes, I've got it right here. That's why I kept this Wikipedia page open. Sandra Moonday Hawk.
Interesting. Okay. And then actually, what's the name of this character?
I don't know if they ever said her name.
No, but is she listed on IMDb as a certain character?
Oh, well, let's take a look at IMDb.
Because that would be really interesting. But anyways, but the name of the actual character is Hawk, so that would be good. We'll go through and look out that. Because, anyways, what happens here? She's got a little bit of a Michelle Trachtenberg thing going on. anyways, that was sort of a side,
yeah.
a side note, but like in terms of like innocence and characterization. So anyways, so I think what Moira does here makes a ton of sense. And I actually think it's just like a really interesting,
well, and it's very consistent with her character that we were introduced to last
yeah.
season. Right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. The one that we knew before she became the crazy one a little bit sort of, but, and this, I don't know, and it makes sense to sort of not hurt people and to make, I think, a good choice based on her. Again, she's always consistent. Even 7 years ago, was consistent in the love of her children and making sacrifices and realizing that this is gonna be a guilty conscience for her, right?
Yeah.
This is something that she's gonna always have in the back of her mind, and she has to bear that herself as she goes forward. So.
So none of the other characters are listed on IMDb yet.
Interesting.
So we'll have to wait and see.
It could be a real thing because it would be super spoilery, perhaps, to have her listed as a certain character. Because if you,
I mean, potentially, but I think that a lot of the, it's the sort of thing that if you know, you know.
Yeah, right? I guess so.
So like the second they introduced the storyline, the second he said that he'd gotten a girl pregnant,
right.
I said to you, "Oh, they're
you
doing
did.
The Connor Hawks."
You
story.
Did. You got really excited.
Yeah,
you were like,
so,
"Oh man!"
It's one of those things that, like, if you know, you already know. If you don't know, then you're like, "This is a really interesting subplot."
Yeah, it's kind right? of yeah. You kind of don't know what's going to go with.
Sorry if I am like spoil. If anybody feels like I spoiled.
Well,
something.
You 100% are in some capacities, but I mean,
yeah.
it's hard to not spoil something that's. You're listening to a podcast. You want more information about the
yeah.
comic book.
And it's a lot like he's saying, like, "Oh, we've spoiled Laurel and Oliver eventually getting together." Well, that's
no.
the way that the comics
that's,
go, right?
Yeah.
So who knows
but
if
the
they're
is,
actually going to do?
And who knows if they're actually going to do anything
yeah.
with Connor, right?
Yeah.
Perhaps the show will get canceled before we even get there. Who knows? So
highly unlikely.
Highly unlikely. I'm just saying.
So we just talked over the whole announcement speech slash rally thing.
Yeah, that she was going to go through.
Yeah, so she Moira was going to bow out,
mm-hmm.
but then Thea showed up, and so she decides at the last second she is going to go through with it. She is going to more than likely win.
Yeah,
that's
what you said at the beginning, too.
Yeah,
yeah that she would more than likely win if she could go forward with it. And then here, we freaked out a little bit for the wrong reason. Again, we weren't sure what
yeah.
was happening. We thought there was going to be more stuff right away when Thea steps on stage right now. We're going, oh no, what's going on with Thea? She's going to, like,
say something horrible,
about
yeah.
Merlin, or,
yeah.
but that she's just getting there and making herself a target, which is interesting. It's not at all what I thought she would have done regarding Roy, so... Anyways, it's interesting that Ollie knows exactly what it is. I don't know. My first instinct would be to go, she's going to ruin her mother or something. I guess
yeah.
she's not at that point. Maybe she just was, I don't know, not that vindictive. So maybe
I also don't think that it serves her unless,
yeah.
like you're saying, unless she was
sure.
trying to be vindictive and get
yeah.
revenge.
Yeah.
it's very important that we know that his leg is messed
yeah.
up.
But the God, your heavy line is so funny.
Yeah.
Gosh, I love Felicity in this episode. Good. She gets the best lines. Can I just
yeah,
say
can you even
that
get into those leather pants?
Yeah, and at the end, what is my... I think my favorite line was later... Oh, yeah, when she was talking about the Venom stuff later
yeah.
on. I don't know. She just had great... She just gets great addendums to her line, I guess, is the thing that they always
have. Well, they're throwaway lines, right? But
yeah.
because they're coming from Felicity...
They're, yeah.
And because it's Emily Bett-Ricard, she does it in such a way that, like, they're not throwaways
yeah.
at all, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're it's
great.
That...
yeah.
It's definitely that heart to the episode, to the
yeah.
team.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And so, yeah, look at all these extras there. They're just everywhere. And here comes Roy.
Crazy gun shooting.
Crazy gun shooting.
Well, Roy wasn't shooting the gun. The bodyguard
was
shooting the gun.
Was
but I, crazy Roy, here to kill Thea.
Yeah. And everybody just getting taken out. I thought that a stray gun was going to, like, kill Thea or...
Now,
I don't know.
In reality, Diggle's face would be split open and he
yeah,
would be
from that.
Pretty much dead.
Oh.
Because, like, we're supposed to believe that Roy has superpowers.
Oh, yeah, he would have just...
And, like, a regular person swinging that thing like a bat into somebody else's head would more than likely do severe
serious.
Permanent damage.
Yeah.
But I... Diggle can handle it. He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
Thea can also apparently handle being held by the throat off the ground, like, by a foot, for an entire commercial break. So you fast forward through the commercials. No, but Sarah showing up in the nick of time?
Question mark. What's going on? But yeah, Thea in trouble. I don't know what she expected. I guess she wanted to talk to Roy. She thought she could make a difference.
Well, in the past, they've established that Thea was the thing keeping Roy tethered.
Right, that's true.
Like, he would have gone off the deep end already if not for the fact that he cares about Thea. So this is partially Oliver's fault because Oliver was like, stay away from Thea. And so it's like now he's kind of gone out of control. And then whatever happened while he was in Slade's...
command.
Control. It's made him worse. So here we are, Sarah with the gun pointed at Roy.
And Sin steps in the way.
Yeah.
And just lets Thea go. And she shoots him in the knee. Doesn't do anything else. Oh, and here we have... Oh, right, Roy's only line, I think. I think that's the only line. Is his kill me, please kill me.
Yeah.
Here he gets three... What is it? Venom arrows?
Yeah.
From Ollie, who is limping. That it's making a lot of sense. Anyways, no one dies tonight is his is what he's saying there. So really putting switch on and stepping in and making sure that Roy is not going to die.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because if we had gone through flashbacks from the past, it would have, because he did the same thing to Slade, right? And that was problematic because then Slade come back later wanting to kill him. Yeah. Anyway, this is the best line. Unless you're in Tibet, then maybe. The idea of buying over the counter. I just thought that was funny. It's funny. I don't know. Good Felicity. I just have to point out she's just got great lines.
Yeah.
It's good. Anyways, knocking me up on Roy, but that's specifically what's caused, he was talking about that about an episode and a half ago, about how him not killing Slade when he had the chance actually was super problematic. So what might be interesting is to see Slade be redeemed at the end, which could be interesting before he kills himself. I actually think Slade might kill himself, in all fairness. I think that...
You think so?
Yeah, because I don't think Ollie has the capacity to kill Slade. I just, like, in terms of being broken, I think that it would be... Again, because from what we were talking about earlier on in this episode...
I don't think Oliver has the capacity to kill Slade, although with the events of this episode, maybe. But I do think that Malcolm
has the capacity.
Right?
Oh,
so if he comes back, because we expect him to come back.
Yeah.
Especially
at the end of this episode when Moira was like, just so you know, Malcolm, and then gets smashed by a car.
Who knows... Sarah is definitely within her rights and capacity to kill Slade. Yeah.
But here she's Diggle breaking could up do with it, him and
right?
leaving.
Like, yeah.
This is an interesting scene.
Yeah, well, we kind of talked about this already. This whole, like, her talking about...
How she has darkness.
She's in the darkness.
Yeah, this is what you were talking about, right? When she says that she stared into the... Whatever. The
eyes of the devil.
Eyes of the devil. And here she's wrapping up ties. So, to me, this means she's not going to be in the next couple episodes unless she comes back right at the end.
That's how I feel. Like, either they're setting this up, they're getting rid of her so that they don't have to deal with her in the finale.
Yeah.
Or it because gives something's going to happen that if Sarah was there, things would play out differently.
Yeah.
Or they're setting it up so that she can swoop in at the last second.
Or so that she can leave at the end of the finale as well, in a way where she sort of was thinking about it now and then would be able to leave later. Also, I feel like Twitter sometimes spoils things for me, because I'm pretty sure she was on set the last day of filming. Or at least went to go visit.
Possibly.
I feel like photos from sets always sometimes ruin
that
things.
Could be flashback stuff, though.
Yeah, true.
So.
Crazy. Just
keep you guessing.
That is. Oh, man.
The way I see this playing out is that, as Slade says, there's one person left.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Slade and his men... getting Sarah before she leaves the city.
Oh, that could be good.
And then him having to deal with the fact that Slade has Sarah.
Could be a thing. I did not expect them all to get into the same limousine. But I guess it's a saving face sort of thing, hey?
Yeah.
When they're all...
Well, I think what is happening here, and, like, sort of the fallout of the previous scenes, mm-hmm. is that... they're repairing this relationship, right? Like, Thea is kind of coming around at this
point. Yeah, and she's starting to realize there's a lot more that she doesn't know and why people might want to say things. Because here, this idea that Roy knows.
Yeah, like, she's cooling down a bit, I think. She's still upset.
Yeah, but...
But she's not as irrational as maybe she's been the last couple episodes.
And in this, it's good, right? This idea that she's talking here, she says, by not telling me the truth, it's actually, right? It's actually more problematic. And really trying to talk to them and get through to them.
When we were watching this the first time and we were watching this scene, I just thinking how much this character is transformed and how strong Thea is now and how great Willa Holland is.
Yeah.
Having been watching her since the OC, right? And in the OC, she wasn't bad in the OC. But she definitely
the character
had,
she was playing was so one-dimensional.
The character was not very interesting.
It bordered
on annoying. But she wasn't that bad. But she had a lot to learn, right? She was a very young, new actress.
Yeah.
And now, she's most of the way through the second season of Arrow, she's she's developed quite a bit as a character and as an actress. And it shows in the scene like that. So our last commercial break here. As the car, the limo gets smashed into, and
right before Moira was going to tell them some vital information about Malcolm,
and I mean, I did not realize what she was going to say. I thought there was going to be some other big reveal about Malcolm, and then you said it. You said like, "Well, Malcolm's still alive," and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's what it is. It's nothing else. It's not more complicated.
No, it's just her gonna." Yeah. And here, I thought this was an amalgamation of something else, like that he was hallucinating.
Back from the commercial. Well, it was unclear to begin with.
Yeah,
right?
It was that if he's imagining the island or if he was actually.
Well, because we're kind of intercutting with a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
But I think it's just to get across the idea that Slade has somewhat recreated.
Yeah.
The scene.
He has. He's.
Which is weird because Slade wasn't there.
I think he says that he actually does.
I was wondering what you looked like when you made that choice.
Wait, did he say I was dead the last time you were offered this choice?
Yeah, I guess so, because he had them. He was dying. They injected him with the Mirakuru. He died.
Right.
And then he came back.
Okay, good. I just didn't know. Yeah, so anyways, but this is such an intense scene.
Well, and he finally says it here. He says Shadow wasn't yours. Because Slade's been walking around going, like, you took her from me.
But that's Slade's big thing, though, is that Shadow, he knows that Shadow wasn't his. That Shadow was, he was yours. And, or she was yours. And the idea that...
But he still loved her. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think this is interesting or important that Slade pointed to her and Ollie said, who are you talking to? And it was this moment. I think it's one of those cracks into... And then now having Roy hallucinating.
Yeah.
I don't think Ollie's going to kill Slade. I'm just going to say, I just don't think he will.
As you think Shadow, the shadow of Shadow is going to kill Slade in a way?
Because I think it's going to make, I don't know, I just, I don't know, it's really...
That would be very poetic.
It would just be a really poetic thing. That I think that Slade, but it's because of what you were talking to at the beginning of this episode, that Slade doesn't have anywhere else to go as a character. His whole ambition this season is to just take down Ollie. So the idea that once he realizes
If that's the case, if he is about to kill himself, I can see Oliver stopping him and saying, no, you have to suffer, right? Like...
But then, anyway, it's all super problematic. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next.
This is why the show is so good. Because there are about a million different possibilities for the way these next three episodes could go. And they're all awesome.
Yeah.
Every single one of them is a valid way for the season to end.
Yeah.
It's just what they choose, right?
Now, here, I thought that in Moira sacrificing herself...
Yeah.
That he would kill Thea. I actually thought this was going to cause him to then kill Thea because of the sacrifice not being a thing.
This you possess true courage thing, and then he goes,
Something too bad it wasn't passed on to you. I'm truly sorry. Because this thing, I thought when he said, I'm truly sorry, it was because it was going to backfire.
Well, he turns towards Thea.
Okay,
I think that they were trying to fake us out.
Yeah. Anyways,
they kept us guessing through the whole scene.
They did.
So whether or not we expected Moira to die,
right? Still,
even if we had known that Moira was going to die,
it's still,
the way that it played out was still intense, super, right?
This was, anyways, I was totally, yeah, I was totally crying through this whole scene. Anyways, oh, there's still one person who has to die. And this is interesting that he goes up to Thea because it's, again, the thing that we think that maybe he'll kill both of them. But instead, I think what he just wipes the blood. Oh, no, he cuts her ties.
He cuts the
rope. Okay. Anyways, poor Moira got, you know, impaled with a sword. So, that's...
Now, what if Slade gets away at the end of the season and part of Thea's storyline...
Is going after Slade.
Is to go after Slade.
That would be interesting.
Like, what if... Yeah. What that, if Malcolm
that Ollie
comes
redeems,
back...
Like, Ollie redeems him, and then and then Thea does not. And it can spend her on this spiral.
And Malcolm comes back and,
yeah,
and takes her...
Oh,
and
yeah,
trains her to become...
Yeah.
Arrowhead.
Man, there's so many things that can happen.
It's almost like... No matter what happens, it's going to be great, but also no matter what happens, we'll be disappointed that one other thing didn't happen.
Yeah. I like that after Moira dies, we now go back to this flashback to the end with a nice, genuine moment between Moira and Ollie. And I think it's such a beautiful, this is such a beautiful scene between the two of them, in terms of really getting at this emotion that Stephen does so well, right? That he's grappling with the problems of not wanting to be dad, but also realizing that, I don't know, that there's choices that he didn't have to make, and he...
Well, I love the way that he reads that line, that he continues to be the luckiest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
But he says, like, if you just read it, it's like, oh, I dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
But the way that he reads it and his performance says that he, like, it hurts. Everything that he's just been through hurts.
Yeah.
And the reasons why his character is who he is.
Yeah.
And very consistent with Oliver Queen from the comics, that even though he earlier was saying that like his life is over, when he's presented with the alternative, it still breaks his heart, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what a person commented on our Facebook page. I won't get into the whole thing, but commented that Oliver Queen doesn't have any heart on this show, and I think that person is completely out of their mind. Because
he just has so much, he just thinks
this scene right here and
everything
and
her saying,
in the
I
previous
love you,
scene.
This
yeah.
is interesting. This is 7 years ago, but the last sort of scene that he has with Moira and this beautiful,
it's that motherly
that
scene,
beautiful
and
motherly
then we
scene.
Fade in on her dead.
Oh, man, this is beautiful. This sort of pan away from them, or this sort of, what is it, elevator shot or whatever. This
And I really like how the music was different. How the music continued through the
end
coda
the,
thing
yeah.
at the end, right?
Yeah.
Like the
yeah,
title
the last
screen.
Sort of
it wasn't the usual like Arrow
music
at the end of an episode, right? Because it usually like the music kind of builds and then cuts off at the end of the episode, and then we get the Arrow logo with like the chhh or whatever. But the music just kind of carried through it.
This is our only. This is our second big death, Who else? Who is this big death? I mean, Robert died, but he wasn't established in the same way that.
Well, and it happened in the first episode.
Yeah. So well, but
I mean, really, like Tommy last season.
Tommy and Moira.
And now Moira. I don't know that anybody else has really had this much of an impact with a death.
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely killed major characters.
Yeah.
I mean, Malcolm was supposed to be dead.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that was kind of a big deal. But it definitely wasn't played in the way that this or Tommy's death were played.
No.
And maybe that should have clued us into...
But, like, this is a final...
That his body
thing.
Was just kind of left on the top of a building. Yeah. And they just kind of ran off to do their other thing.
Right. Yeah.
And then he came back. Yeah. So, if anybody's bodies are left to die on the top of a building this season,
Be skeptical. Anyways... That's interesting. It was sad. I don't want to talk about it more. I sort of want to let it sink in more.
Okay, well, let's just quickly talk about this preview for next week's episode, City of Blood.
It is pretty epic. So
we start with the funeral scene, and then Blood's got an army.
He does, of all sort of mini death strokes.
They've all got that death stroke mask, and then we see a woman in a death stroke type mask, which some comic fans might have an idea or two about who that character is.
And some people watching the show might have found out who that character is by walking through spoilers.
Yeah, and some set photos were leaked and that sort of thing. Yeah. So,
But
in any case,
they did at the
interesting stuff. Yeah, so I mean, that to me says, and they put it in the promo, so is it really a spoiler at this point? I don't think it is, but we'll leave it. Open to interpretation for those who want to.
If you
want to
go, if you want to find out next week, find out next week. Otherwise, you can Google it and you can really easily find out who is in stuff next week.
Or you can just think about it and you can probably put two and two together.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that pretty much does it for this week. An intense episode.
Yeah.
As everybody was saying on Twitter and social media all over the place, total game changer.
Yeah.
This really sets a very distinct tone.
It's good. It allows us, unlike last year in which we had to sort of deal with Tommy's death and sort of that little button at the end, now we have three, it's not about the death this season, it's about how the relationships affect.
You're assuming that Moira is the only character that's going
to
die.
I am assuming Moira is the only, I don't want any more to die. No.
Because I don't know, I feel like Sarah is...
Yeah... I know.
It's rough. I hate that. I hate saying those words because Sarah might be my favorite character on the show.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure she's one of your faves.
Yeah. So losing her would just like that would kill me. I'm almost emotional thinking about just losing her in the sense that she won't be on the show anymore. Right. So watching the character and whatever happens with that might be a little bit intense for me. So. But yeah, so we'll see. We just gotta wait and see how this stuff plays out.
Yeah.
No matter what, I think it's gonna be a pretty good ride.
Yeah.
It's killing me that they're on three separate nights.
Just wanna watch them all at one big epic sort of.
Yeah, finale. I really wish that they did a two-part season finale. Mm-hmm. But man, that means 3 weeks left. That's all we've got left.
That's crazy.
It's just gonna carry us into the middle of May, and then we're all done for the season. And. And a quick note, I was wrong last week when I said that voting closed on Sunday. Voting closes this Sunday.
For the Story Hive?
For Story Hive.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was going to say something. Thank you to people who voted for the Story Hive
Lots
project,
of
which is my...
have been voting.
Yeah, Geek
so
Girls
good.
Of Vancouver. It was an awesome... It was my birthday yesterday, so it was an awesome birthday present. If people want to give me a cool birthday present, because you love me. Anyways, but so thank you, everybody that's shown support for me and Mike in various ways, actually. So for all the projects that we're doing, we really appreciate it.
You guys continue to be an awesome community.
Yeah.
And we really appreciate that. And on that note, you can, if you're not a part of that community, you are, you just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
All you got to do is go to quiverpodcast.com. That's our website where you can leave comments on the different posts. You can read all sorts of news. Be careful of spoilers. There are some spoiler filled posts, but Tim's pretty good about noting that in the at the beginning of the article or in the headline or whatever.
Yeah.
But so quiverpodcast.com is the website. mail@quiverpodcast.com is our email. You can send us your thoughts about this episode or Arrow in general or next week's episode.
Also send us in suggestions. One of my favorite parts at the end of the year is getting suggestions for shows that people want us to watch over the summer or that other people are watching over the summer.
Definitely.
What your sci-fi faves are. So just email us about random stuff and having conversations. Also, people have interesting critiques about certain things of the podcast. I know some people like our tags at the end of the podcast. Some people don't like our tags at the end of the podcast. We take everything with a grain of salt and do it anyways. It's sort of how it works. But it's nice to
hear.
It's
there for you if you like it. If you're not a fan,
just
stop
listening after
the
music. Yeah. Sometimes we talk about error-related things, and sometimes we just have conversations.
More often than not, they're completely unrelated, and it's just
us being us and talking about random things. But you talk
sometimes it's
sometimes
geeky,
about
sometimes
pop culture,
it's not.
And sometimes it's it's just conversations. But anyways, it's cool if you. I mean, it gives you guys an extra level of who you're listening to each week, right? It's Mike and Amanda just talking about things we love. So
You can also find us on Twitter, Quiver Podcast, @QuiverPodcast on Twitter, and on Facebook, facebook.com/QuiverPodcast, and you can find links to the group from there.
Which is growing big!
It's
that
huge!
That group is epic! We have, I was gonna say, if
every
you want
day.
To talk about Arrow anywhere, the best place to do it is on the Quiver Podcast group.
Yes.
Like, I feel we have one of the most active and most engaged sort of places to have conversations about that. And it's really great. New people are posting every once in a while. They're different opinions. Yeah. So it's pretty great. It's 1,500, something like that. There's a lot of people in it.
Oh, it's more than that now. Is it? It's way more than that.
Which is crazy. Yeah. And it's just like conversations, which is so cool.
It's excellent. We love you guys and you're contributing to the community. And people, because that's what makes the podcast so great.
Yeah, and because we have people calling us right away. This is the thing. This podcast only gets better when more people can call us on fact check us, right?
Yeah.
The good thing that you know about listening to this podcast is that there's a lot of listeners out there that are fact checking us, and they will come back to us and write us emails when we are incorrect. And I think that that's one of the best things about this.
In a constructive and helpful way.
Yeah, constructive, helpful, and brief way. Yeah. It's always best.
Yeah.
But
2,002 members as of this recording.
Wow, that's crazy.
So that's as of Wednesday night after the airing of Seeing Red.
So
2,002.
Man, I'm
and
sure.
And I'm sure that there's probably some people. I have notifications.
Yeah. And the greatest
some of
thing
that is people who want to be added.
And they can just have conversations about whatever you want on there, which is cool. And there's usually a couple people that'll jump on and have that conversation with you. So if you are feeling that there's not enough Arrowheads in your community, then you can join ours because it's pretty fantastic. It's good. I've now new friends through Quiver, so it's pretty good.
Yes.
And you can also follow us on our own personal Twitters. I'm at AKONKIN, AKONKIN. And people have tweeted us at Fliggle Things this week and stuff, which is good. And Mike is at ArcWolf. He lost on his surface again. He's looking at social media stuff.
I am at ArcWolf, ArkWolf. Sorry, people are posting spoilers in the group right now.
So
we need to wrap it up, and I need to promptly delete posts and let people know that no spoilers.
Right.
All right. So new people to the group, as we said, it's growing very quickly.
And it's hard to.
Yeah.
So if you are jumping on that group, try to be respectful about people that haven't really found stuff. Also, you know, if you are super adamant about no spoilers, maybe just, you know, jump on our Facebook page. We don't post spoilers on there. You can be part of communities in other ways. But if you don't mind, if you want to be part of a more active community, it's definitely more active, which can be, as Mike pointed out, somewhat problematic because sometimes spoilers get posted there. I know that it's problematic if I don't get to watch the episode the day of, but anyways, thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah, stay sharp, Arrowheads.
Deal with these spoilers.
I know you are.
Like, there's lots.
Oh, really?
There's quite a few.
Oh, no.
Is this a spoiler? This isn't a spoiler. Okay, so did anyone else think that Moira looked really pretty with the long hair? Why did her wig look great, but everyone else's wig looked like crap?
That's not a spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. It wasn't a wig. That was
it
her
wasn't
hair.
A wig. Those were
her
extensions.
Extensions?
Yeah.
And it was straightened.
It was straight. Right. Well, no, but her hair is shorter. She had extensions in. Okay. Is why it looked more realistic.
They also just styled it really differently.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because she usually has it curly. So this recorded, right?
I sure hope so. Yeah, I checked partway through.
Did you? Okay, good.
Yeah, hour and 22 minutes.
Anyways, that's.